I don't know how to describe this. Probably it's as close to what I do on Christmas Eve as you're going to get without being here on Christmas Eve. You probably won't be able to see the words very much, but this grew out of something I was wrestling with in the as a new Christian. Because when you become a new Christian, one of the things that happens to you is you become aware that not everybody, even in the Christian church, appreciates Christmas. You know, they kind of think, you know, it's very commercialized, you know, and then we got all this schmo and stuff. Some people don't even decorate for Christmas, and why do we do this? And I had sort of a different feeling about it. I always felt that Christmas time shouts at me about Christ and His love, and the decorations and everything that goes along with it speaks about that. And I wanted some way to articulate that, so I wrote this kind of a meditation called "The Colors of Christmas." And I hadn't really read it for a very long time, and somehow in my mind in the last couple of weeks, it's just been like rolling around, like, you know, I should revisit that. And so I thought today, being as I was the 21st of December, that I would take you through this and maybe give you a little fresh perspective about how we view the decoration and the experience of Christmas. This is called "The Colors of Christmas." De Colores. Life is like a rainbow. It's made up of many colors. Christmas is a season of colors, a season of joy and thankfulness. Christmas is a celebration of life. The many colors of Christmas remind us of the life that our Savior Jesus Christ came into the world to bring. Christian doesn't have to live life in black and white. A Christian can experience all the colors of life and find a special joy in each. That is God's gift to us. The gift that Christmas speaks to us about. In Curcio, it's a renewal that many of us have been part of. It's been quite a while, but in the Curcio movement, the story is told about a group of men who spent a retreat weekend together and had a life-changing encounter with God. Coming down from the mountain where this retreat was held, they heard children singing the Spanish folk song, De Colores, Oh, the Colors. They noticed how the world had changed around them. Everything seemed so bright and alive. They noticed the colors around them as if they'd never been seen them before. They realized that the world hadn't changed, but they had. Jesus had come into their lives, and the world around them now looked different. So too for us who have experienced the message of Christmas in our lives. Life has become full of color. Each color has its own beauty and can be experienced with joy, for Jesus Christ has taken the fear out of even the darker moments of our lives. He now makes each moment a moment of its own beauty. Color, the gift of God, is, so to speak, the fragrance of Christmas. So let's put on the festal robes of color and celebrate this season of joy, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Black. The absence of color. Black is not a jumble of color, but the absence of it. Black is the opposite of color and speaks to us of the opposite of life, which is death. Black reminds us of what we once were, dead in our trespasses and sins. Black reminds us of the reason that Jesus came into the world. Black, the color of sin and death also reminds us of the awful price that that tiny child born in Bethlehem would one day pay. Yet us, because of the love and power of that small child who came into the world on Christmas Day, black can even be transformed into a color of wonder. Death has now become for us the door to eternity. And even our sins can be redeemed for God by the marvelous grace of which this season speaks. Paul writes that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The tree. In the pagan world, the evergreen tree was a symbol of eternal life because it was always green and fresh, even when all other trees lose their color. The tree is a creation of beauty. It brings us shade from the heat, wood to build our homes and keep them warm, and for many a varieties of food to sustain our lives. However, for the one who created it, the tree became an instrument of death. How many years did that tree grow and bring joy to those around it until one day it was chopped down and shaped into a cross upon which to execute the one who gave it life? The tree reminds us of the destiny of the Savior whose birth we celebrate during this season of the year. It's not with sadness or disgust that we look upon the tree, for it's because of that timber of wood and who died upon it that we now live and enjoy relationship with God. In the book of Acts, it reads, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging Him on a tree. He is the one whom God exalted to His right hand as Prince and Savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." Red, the color of blood, the price of redemption. Red is a wondrous color. It's the color of life. Red is the color of redemption and is the living stream which flows from page to page in the Scriptures we hold so dear. Red was the blood that poured from the first animal sacrifice of Abel. Red was the blood of the ram caught in the thicket where Abraham was prepared to offer Isaac. Red was the color of the marks of blood on the doorways of the Israelites when they celebrated the Passover and all the firstborn of Egypt were slain. Red was the color of string hung from the window of Rahab the harlot that protected her and her family from sure destruction at Jericho. Red was the color that stained the ground around a piece of wood upon which the Savior of the world had been hung. That precious blood was priceless, for it purchased the salvation of all mankind. Red is a wondrous color. It is the color of life. It is the color of redemption. The Apostle Peter wrote, "You were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. White, the festive color of purity. White, the color worn by brides, by kings and priests, by babies being dedicated. The color of innocence, the color of purity. Priests wore white on the Day of Atonement, the day which they approached the Holy of Holies. David wore a simple white garment as he danced before the Lord. Jesus was clothed in white upon the Mount of Transfiguration. White speaks to us of the purity of Jesus, born into a world of soiled and stained humanity. Tempted as we were, yet without sin, this pure Son of God, the only one who ever walked upon the face of the earth in which darkness had no part, would one day pay the price for all of mankind's soiled and spotted hearts. What was the reason for this sacrificial gift of love? That He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, clothed in pure white, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. White also reminds us of the brilliance of God's glory. It was this brilliance that triumphed over the grave in Jerusalem, from which the soldiers who had been sent to guard hid their eyes. White is the color of victory. His victory and ours. The book of Revelation, John the Apostle wrote, "After these things I looked, and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and tribe and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Green, color of freshness. Green reminds us of things fresh and new, of things vigorous and growing, of things alive. It was Isaiah who prophesied about Jesus, that He would grow up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. In a world that was dead and barren, a freshness came, the life of the Son of God. Everywhere He went, people breathed of His newness and were filled with hope. Color the Son of God green. For it's the color that speaks of His life in contrast to the death around Him. Green reminds us that our own life in Christ is not to be stagnant, but moving and growing and changing. What we were yesterday, we will not be tomorrow. But we are all being transformed from glory to glory. Christ has come into this world not to give us a new law or a dead religion, but life. Life that is renewed day by day. Color us green. For it is the color of things alive. Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well, said these words, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life."
purple. Why is it that women like purple? I don't know. Suffering, that creates royalty. Purple is the color of suffering and struggle. It reminds us of the pain that Jesus suffered at the hands of His creation. Whenever we imagine the peaceful scene of that stable in Bethlehem, let's not forget that that scene was short-lived, and suffering and struggle would soon surround that child and anyone who drew near to Him. Jesus said Himself that He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And spiritual warfare characterized His life and the life of His followers. Purple reminds us of our own suffering as we live in a world filled with sin and death. Being a Christian doesn't immunize us from suffering. It only gives suffering a new meaning. For purple is also a royal color and is a symbol of royalty and power. In the kingdom of God, the kingly virtues of godly character and power grow out of struggle and suffering. The color purple, being a blend of colors, speaks to us that life is a blend of colors. God uses the mountains and the valleys, the good times and the struggles to create within us His kingly nature. Paul reminds us by writing, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison." Blue, the color of grace. Does grace have a color? Grace is God's acting in behalf of men to reveal Himself and to bring forgiveness, healing, strength to our lives. Grace was ultimately manifested in that helpless little baby who was born on Christmas Day. Grace is not something we can learn or strive for. It is God's gift. Grace comes from God. In times of need, we pray with David, "To Thee I lift my eyes, O Thou who art enthroned in the heavens." When we lift our eyes to the heavens, there is one beautiful color that fills our vision. One color that reminds us that we need someone greater than ourselves, our needs. One color more than any that speaks of God's grace. That color is blue. Blue, the color of heavens, reminds us that God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That little baby was born more than a child of earth. He was a child of heaven. He was God's grace in the flesh. His color was blue. John begins his gospel with these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Silver and gold. Silver and gold are the colors of the most precious metals on earth. They remind us of two important events that occurred during the life of Jesus. two events that were spoken about hundreds of years before they ever occurred. The prophets spoke of a star that would appear, kings from the east who would come and worship Him. And they did come. They saw His star and they followed it. They searched for the newborn King. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they worshiped Him. They gave the most precious gifts the world could offer. And all wondered at the destiny of this small child around whom these miraculous events occurred. The prophets also spoke of another, one who would buy a burial ground with his price of betrayal. 30 pieces of silver was his wage. 30 pieces of silver is what the life of our Lord was valued at. 30 pieces of silver will forever be etched in our mind as the wages of a traitor. Gold and silver. To give it away can be an act of worship. To value it more than our very souls is our sin. Gold and silver remind us of two responses to the message of Christmas. We can respond in faith and give all that we are to the one who Christmas speaks. Let me read that again. We can respond in faith and give all that we are to the one of whom Christmas speaks. Like the Magi who traveled so far, we too can find the one who alone can answer our heart's search. On the other hand, we can, like Judas, reject the Christ of Christmas and be satisfied with a few silver trinkets. Christmas always presents us with a choice. And the colors of silver and gold remind us of our choice. As we step into this Christmas week, what will our choice be? Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though for now, for a little while necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus. Though you've seen Him, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him, and you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Let's stand together. Look around. Look at the colors that are confronting you in this room. When you walk out of this building today, think of the colors that are in the world that are around you. Think of your own life as your life is filled with colors. How drab it would be if it was all the same color all the time. And embrace the colors that are around you. Think of all the colors that go into making you up. Now, there's some colors we don't want. I don't want that color in my life. But how much that forms something in your life and how God is at work. Next time you see a Christmas tree, remember that that Christmas tree is not just there because it's a pretty place to hang lights, but it's there to remind us of another tree. The tree upon which our Savior was hung and died for our sins. And that every one of those ornaments that are hung on that tree has a color. And every one of those colors speaks of the salvation event of our life in God. Let us pray. Lord, I pray when we leave this place today that we'll remember and that Christmas will speak to us. Not something that we just think is a nice story, but of the life that captures our hearts. But I pray for your people that in the midst of the hustle and bustle of Christmas time, they will have moments of reflection with you, moments of remembering, moments of praise. And I pray, Lord, that at each moment, as we are presented with the choice of silver and gold, we will choose like the Magi to offer our worship to you. Lord, bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen.